The following podcast is not real, but it is a key component to Project Mobius, the top secret comedy mind control initiative of the Earwolf Network. Oh, whoops, it says don't read that part. Forget that. And it's sponsored by Cards Against Humanity. If you'd like to give real gifts to your fake friends, send them to Cards Against Humanity, 1917 North Elston, Chicago, Illinois, 60642. Care of Arnie Niekamp, Vermilion Minotaur, Town of Hogsface, Land of Foon. The folks at Cards will pass them along. Enjoy the show.
Hello from the Magic Tavern, a weekly podcast from the magical land of Foon. I'm your host, Arnie Niekamp. If you've never listened to the podcast before, this was going on. About a year and a half ago, I kind of lost track, honestly. I don't know exactly how many months, but over a year and a half ago, I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King into the magical, fantastical land of Foon. Luckily, I'm still getting a Wi-Fi signal from that Burger King through the dimensional portal, and I use it to upload a podcast I record every week here in the tavern, the Vermilion Minotaur, in the town of Hogsface, in the land of Foon. And I'm joined, as always, by my co-hosts, Chunt, the King of the Badgers.
Hey there.
How you doing, bud?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. There's some new stuff going on with you.
Yeah. I got some more piercings done.
More piercings?
Yeah.
Really?
My friend Claire's been helping me out. I got what's called a stud in my ear.
Uh-huh.
And I got a hoop in this one over here.
Wow.
Then I ended up getting that labret piercing.
Yeah.
And I got this is a, how do I explain this? I got this weird piercing where long ago there used to be this prince named Albert.
Oh, no.
Al. He would be called my Prince Al.
Oh, God.
And he got a special type of piercing, and I also got that special type of piercing. And you may not be able to see it.
In your dick.
Sorry?
In your penis.
What? No. Who would get their dick pierced?
Oh, that's not what you're talking about?
No. It's on my shoulder.
Oh.
You just pierced my shoulder.
Pierced your shoulder?
Yeah. It's kind of a cool
thing. I mean, it's not as bad as a dick, but it just pierced your shoulder?
Yeah.
That's gotta hurt.
Yeah, it hurts terribly, but it looks great.
Who is this new friend Claire that you're getting all these piercings from?
It's just a friend of mine. And also my friend Spencer, who gives me so many gifts.
Oh, Spencer's gifts?
What?
Be honest. Are Spencer's gifts any good? They're kind of like, they're funny.
I feel
funny.
Like when I was younger, they used to look kind of cool, and now I'm just like, these are lame.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm also joined by my other co-host, one of my favorite people in Foon.
I am Musidor, wizard of the 12th realm of Ephesius, master of light and shadow, manipulator of magical delights, devourer of chaos, champion of the great halls of Tarakus. The elves know me as Fiangyalak. The dwarves know me as Zonin and Hoogstanges, and I am known in the northeast as Gasmuenius Maystar, and there may be other secret names you do not know yet. Oh, those names are so powerful, so deadly, so gruesome that I dare not speak any out of this even when I reference them.
That's the softest I've ever heard Usador speak.
Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
I can get
Get quieter?
Yeah.
How quiet can you get?
Quiet.
How quiet can you get?
Quiet.
How quiet can you get?
Quiet.
Arnie, how are you doing?
What if the whole show is just this? And then...
Now I'm back to
normal. I bet we killed somebody. I bet there was someone listening at home who turned the volume way up because they wanted to hear every second of Usador talking. And
nay.
You blasted their ears out.
Nay, they want to hear every single note upon the very spectrum that is the voice of Usador.
Every note? Airy note?
Airy note.
Have I heard airy note that your voice is capable of?
Perhaps.
You know, sometimes when you're not around, Usador and I take your equipment, and we've been recording another podcast.
What?
It's called Usador's Enunciation.
Really?
Yeah. So what we do is we just take, they're just short podcasts. It's like 5 minutes
each. Red letter, yellow letter.
Yeah, he does a lot of, like, she brews a proper cup of coffee in a copper coffee pot.
So every episode is just you doing vocal warm-ups?
That's correct.
Do other things happen? What do you do on this in this podcast, John?
I'm his hype man.
You're his
so
hype
I'm
man?
I'm like, yeah, baby, get it.
Could you
give me the gift of a grip-top sock, not a slip-shape, ship-shape, drip-drop sock, but a plastic elastic grip top sock.
You know you need unique hog's face. You know you need unique hog's face. That one's hard.
That is hard.
That is a hard one.
Yeah. Oh, this podcast sounds terrible, but I know
what?
I'm going to get lots of requests.
No, actually, Chunt, he's right. It is awful. I have been listening back to it, and it is even worse than this show.
What? But Usador's enunciation, I mean, the title...
I mean, I sound terrific, but the show is boring as hell.
What have you guys been doing with it? Have you tried uploading it anywhere?
Uploading it?
What do you mean?
Well, you got to upload it through the dimensional rift
to the... We just speak into the microphone. We assume it does the rest.
Talk at Earth right now.
Oh, you don't even, like, know... You probably don't even know how to record it.
I thought there's a microphone you speak into, and it sends
talking
it to Earth.
We just talk into this, and it goes to Earth.
Oh, I see. So you just come in, set up the mics, talk into them.
Yes.
And you think it goes someplace.
Yes.
Dummies.
Hey.
You guys are fucking stupid about Earth stuff.
Whose fault is that?
I'm tired. Look, here's the thing. I'm tired of being the fish out of water. I am no stupider than you guys. Just because I'm in your world, I don't understand stuff. You don't know shit about my world.
Now, you're no stupider than anyone. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and we know tons about Earth stuff.
Like, what's some Earth stuff you know?
There's a little something called the Kentucky Derby.
Kentucky Derby?
We know all about Disneyland.
We know all about Dharma and Greg.
Mm-hmm.
We've learned about Billy Yum Yum 2x2.
Yes.
I know what a nerd's rope is.
Oh, you're making me really nostalgic for Earth. All right, well, you know, we could go on and on talking about Earth stuff.
Let's do!
Look, I don't want to talk about Earth stuff, except for there's a shirt. I don't want to talk about Earth stuff. Currently available on the Earwolf store.
What was that voice you slipped into?
That's my sales voice.
That sounded gross.
Hey, you know what? I feel like I've been ignoring our guest. I'm very excited. We have another fairy on the show. We're going to talk to Ross, the fairy.
Hello.
Hi, Ross.
Hi.
You're just this adorable little fairy.
Don't patronize.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
But it's just, you're so small. So I guess I think of small things as being adorable.
I think of your penis as adorable.
Snap. Yeah.
Fair enough. I really walked right into that one.
Yes. Oh. Sorry. If I see one, I'm going to take it home.
No, sure. Absolutely.
Classic Ross.
Classic Ross. That's right. Chun, you know Ross.
Oh, yeah. Ross and I went to school together.
Where did you guys go to school?
Patchouli.
Patchouli Grade School.
Oh, wow.
Which smells so bad. It smells like, there's a phrase of like, smells like patchouli. It
smells like patchouli.
Like,
yeah.
Like unwashed.
But like also better than you.
Yeah.
Patchouli School smells very poorly because it was built on top of a dead ogre.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So Ross, walk me through like what your life is like. What is your life like as a fairy?
Sure. Get up super early.
Uh-huh.
That's number one. That's number one for all fairies.
Oh, all fairies are early risers.
Early risers. Late sleepers.
Uh-huh.
Naps.
Sure.
Yeah. Then I go to work every day. Uh-huh. 20 hours.
20 hours?
Yeah.
That's so much of the day.
It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Yeah, we only paid for six, too.
You're only paid for six of those hours?
Yeah. They cut off into half-hour sequences.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so...
Holy cow.
Yeah, there's a lot of rigmarole.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
What is the work that you do?
Oh, my God. Enchanting people.
Sure. Yeah.
With my spirit.
Yeah.
Is a big one. Kind of upping the mood. Like, if there's ever a kind of a bad mood in a place, we go there and we up it.
Oh, is that hard to spend so much time in places where people are in a bad mood?
You know what? I like it.
Sure.
Yeah, I crave it. I'm not gonna lie, I dream about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm good at my job. That's not the point.
Yeah.
The point is the circumstances in which I work, you know?
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. So you're like, love the job,
love
don't
the job.
Like the circumstances.
Yes. Love the peanut butter, hate the jaw.
Sure.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Now, you have a very good fairy job. Some fairies have more lowly jobs.
Yes, they live in shoes.
They live in shoes. They put dew onto grass, that sort of thing.
Right. They have to wake up the sun.
What a drudgery.
Notorious.
Wake up the sun?
Notoriously oversleeper.
Yeah, how does that work?
Oh, my God. You start at the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of walk them.
Yeah.
And then as soon as, you know, there's enough pressure, there's enough of us fairies,
he
wakes up.
Oh, you wake up the sun.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's probably not a very time-consuming job.
You would think. But sun time is so different than odd time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah.
And it takes very many fairies to do it.
Oh, yeah.
One alone definitely could not do it.
No. It'd be like a sneeze.
But some people must like that job. Like, if you've got a worse job, you're like, oh, I hate this job. I might as well be walking on the sun.
Yeah, I guess you're talking about everything being relative.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's a good way to end a conversation.
Yeah. How do fairies' jobs get picked? Like, do you decide, like, I'm going to shoot for being that kind of fairy, or do you get pre-selected?
You're pre-selected. There's very little mobility in the fairy world. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you're lucky that you got a job you like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you learn to like it, like anything. You know, somebody likes to wipe an ass. I don't know. Not me.
Yeah.
Somebody out there.
Somebody
yeah,
likes
someone
it.
Does.
Yeah.
Do they test your aptitude at all to see where you're best placed?
No, it's whoever was your mother and your father.
Oh. Just hereditary.
Hereditary, yes, purely. Yeah.
So your parents did the same job?
No, my parents were welders.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It skips a generation.
Sure. So if you had your druthers, would you have the job you have or would you do something else?
Goodness, I've never even entertained the thought.
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you can give me the permission to think for a minute.
Sure.
Give her permission.
Yeah, let's all...
Everyone shut up!
This is thinking time.
I'd like to tell stories through songs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that something that you do in your free time, or is it just something you want
to
do?
Continue talking to one another!
It's something I do, I entertain in my free time thinking about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Could we hear one of your
stories,
your song?
I always like to hear a problem.
Yeah.
Could I hear a problem?
Could I?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Do either of you have a recent problem?
I don't have a problem, but my friend has been dating someone long distance, and he's concerned it may not work out.
Oh, that's tough. Us fairies know a lot about that because we're so small.
Yeah.
Everything's a long distance.
That's true.
That's very true.
Our natural is just very long.
Yeah, yeah. It could be a very short distance to you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do you mind if I sing? Look at him, he's over there. Ooh, it's getting smaller because he's far away. Is it you getting bigger or he getting smaller? It's distance.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow, that's fantastic.
That really put my heart at ease.
Yeah. Maybe it didn't solve your problem.
No,
but it
described
really puts things in perspective.
Yes. Yeah, just hearing someone else identifying with your problem, I think is helpful.
It reminded me how things in the distance are smaller.
John, how about you? You got a problem?
Yes, I have a problem where my friend thinks that I might have pierced my dick. And I don't know how to assure him I did not.
Yeah.
Tale as old as time. Ooh, what's that peeking from your pants? Is it metal? Is it a dance? We'll never know unless we ask. It's the penis song.
Wow.
Oh. Yeah.
Wonderful.
That's a good song.
I'm going to sing that to my penis every night before bed.
Oh, really?
I'm gonna tuck in my penis, sing it that little song.
Tuck
it. Give it a warm glass of milk and then go.
Oh. You wake up in the morning, just warm milk all over your lap. Well, here's my problem. I love my family.
Oh.
But I accidentally fell through a dimensional portal from my world to this world.
To that, this
we
world.
We get it.
Yeah, you say it at the beginning of every show.
A year and a half ago, I fell through a dimensional portal. And I miss my family very much. Like, I love the magical, cool things that I've learned here, but I miss my family.
Right. So you want me to sing you a song?
I would love a song.
Okay. Little babies cry about little things. You've got to realize life is long and you only get one of it. So shut it.
Oh, man, mine didn't even rhyme.
No, that one really hit home for me.
Oh, boy. All right, Ross. Well, I guess you give me a lot to think about.
Yeah. It's all relative, man.
I guess so.
You know, I have this theory of relativity.
I'm not going to sing that song to my penis.
If I were to put my paw in a fire... Uh-huh. For half an hour.
Yeah.
It would burn off.
It would burn off.
Yeah.
But if I were to spend, some time in the company of a beautiful person, it would feel like 5 minutes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Chen's a real philosopher.
Yeah.
And relatively, that second scenario is the better one.
Yeah.
Yes, oh,
yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I see now. No.
Not even relatively. Like, it just is the better scenario.
Unless you're allergic to beauty.
Oh, which some people are.
Yeah.
Which some people are.
How does a beauty allergy manifest itself? Like, what happens?
Oh, you just sort of let yourself go, grow a beard, don't do much with your hair anymore.
And you're just like, I'm allergic to beauty.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, you know what? Ross, do you want anything to drink?
Oh, do you have any teacup?
We do have teacups. Would you like anything in it? Or did you want the cup?
No.
You just wanted to sit inside the teacup?
Yes,
oh, I'm
please.
So sorry. Yeah, you've been like, you've been just sort of hovering.
I've been flying this whole time.
Yeah, it's got to be exhausting.
An empty teacup, please, and 3 ales for the table.
And make it short and stout.
Let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back. So, Ross, it saddens me to learn that fairies' lives are a lot more bleak than I guess I imagined they would be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you bring so much magic and joy into Foon. It's sad that your lives seem a little, dare I say, joyless?
Yeah, I dare you to say it. Oh, yeah.
Dare accepted.
Yeah.
It's joyless.
Yeah, it's horrible. We see in black and white. We work 20 hours. Nobody cares about us.
You see in black and white?
Yes.
You're so colorful. You don't see any of those colors?
Yeah, and it's like dots, too.
Oh.
It's not even connected.
Wow.
You look like an Adam to me.
Wow. He does look like an Adam. I could see you being named Adam.
It's not nice. It's not great. We have horrible overlords by the way of kings and queens.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they
who are in rehab, I heard.
Yes, and honestly, it's sex related.
Oh, sex related.
Yeah,
I love it.
I wonder if they have anything for that at the Learning Onyx, where I've been going to meetings.
Right.
There's this giant Onyx building where there's like you can go to meetings, you can go to AA, which is just you go in the room and there's just two apples sitting
right.
there.
Right, right, right.
You can go.
You have to decide which one to pick.
Yeah, you have to decide.
Yeah, that's a tricky test.
Yeah, White Watchers, in case you're trying to get rid of whites.
Aren't we all?
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
But it's hard to keep them away.
Yeah, got the population.
So your overlords are just making things tough.
Oh, yes, so tough. They cut our brakes, they step on our toes, they clip our wings.
Oh, no.
Just for talking back.
Uh-huh.
And I have this horrible thing. It's called sass.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a lot of it.
A lot of sass.
Yeah. And so I got to bite my tongue.
Yeah. Literally?
No, fairies don't have tongues.
Oh, what? How are you talking? Wait, open your mouth. This is very personal. I apologize. Is it all right if you open your mouth really wide so I can see your tongueless mouth?
Yeah, it kind of looks like your pants. That's too.
Oh, snap.
I deserve that. I do 100% deserve that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all night. Do you mind if I plug my show?
No, go right ahead.
Yeah. There's a corner at Dickens. I stand there and I burn people.
Oh.
Yeah, if anyone wants to come.
So you burn people?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
That means I say something mean to them and then I... throw a match at the face.
Oh,
so like you got burned.
Yeah.
Burn notice.
So both ways.
But anyways, Thursdays and Tuesdays.
Thursdays and Tuesdays.
Yeah, all day.
Can you do a burn on Chun?
Sure. Oh, come on.
Sure thing. Hey, Chun, where's your butt?
Around back?
In your mother's mouth.
Oh, come on. That was pretty good. That's pretty good. Somebody get me to a healer because I have third-degree burns.
Well, luckily she didn't throw actual fire on you, so...
No, yes, of course. Bad. I'm very lucky.
Because you're friends.
Yes.
You're close.
Yes,
yeah, we're very close.
Yes.
We've been there and back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Do you ever have trouble lifting the match?
No, fairy dust.
Ah.
Yes. Lifts itself.
Got it.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Is there anything we can do to help?
Oh, yes. I'd like all the fairies to come to Dickens after my burn session, and we want to talk. We got to talk. We got to organize. We got to come together.
Oh.
Please no non-fairies.
Oh, okay.
Please no scobs. Those are people pretending to be fairies.
Oh, scobs are trying to be pretending to be fairies?
They pretend, but we can see right through them.
Oh, sure. What do they really look what do they look like?
The furrier.
Oh, okay.
Right. And they talk like with a higher accent.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes they're human size and just wearing fake wings. They're very easy to spot.
Yeah, very easy
to
spot.
You're like, that's not a fairy.
You're
that's
like, you're like 1,000 times too big.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. They say they just ate a hamburger.
And you're like, what hamburger did all of that? I think not.
I'm going to start using that excuse, I think.
There's also some fairies that it's kind of sad, but they can only stay alive if you believe in them and clap. And it's just like this exhausting, like...
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a lot of just desperate
fairies.
For attention.
Yeah. It's just like, please keep... It's like, this is so tiring.
Please, I don't exist without this.
Yeah. It's like so needy and just like...
Horrible.
It's like, I believe in you. Why do I have to clap?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Belief should be enough.
Yes.
I've listened to this whole thing. I'm not going to clap.
Right. I don't do it anymore.
Me either.
So you're trying to organize all the fairies.
Yes.
You want them to get together.
Come together, Dickens, and we'll talk, we'll organize, we'll make some demands, and then we're going to do a peaceful protest.
Oh.
We'll give that a minute.
Sure. So walk me through how that first minute will look. Like, what will that peaceful protest look like?
We're going to form a giant fairy with our bodies.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm going to be the top of the left wing.
Okay.
So that's kind of where the power is.
Sure.
And as soon as that giant fairy, we're going to knock on the king's door, and we're going to say, you know, treat us better.
Treat you better, yeah.
That's about, that's about a minute.
And you said this is on Dickens?
Yeah.
You know, on Dickens Street is where Chris met his, you know, Chris from Christmas.
Oh, yeah, Christmas.
Where he met his girlfriend, Carol.
Oh, really? Oh. Christmas and Carol?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, wow.
Right on Dickens Street.
Now, Ross.
Yes.
Once you organize these fairies into a single force to take on the king and queen of the fairies and to put them in their place, will you usurp power? Or shall there be a vacuum, and what shall fill that vacuum?
No, no, we prescribe to the fairy thinker, Tarles Box, and we believe that the work should be collaborative, right? And we should own the production, but also give us a weekend.
Yeah,
yeah.
Give us a weekend.
Give us a weekend.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes, a wonderful utopian future.
Yes,
for the fairies.
For the fairies. Thank you, and I enjoy your support. You guys are all allies in my book.
Oh, that's
excellent.
Great.
Yeah. Thank you. Awesome. I don't want to divert from the great work that you're doing, but just personally, since I know you and I know, you know, in school, are you ever going to get back with Rachel?
Oh, don't.
Ross, don't. Come on. Tell us.
Don't.
I feel like...
You know, she shaved her head.
Did she?
Yeah. Oh, and that was 99% of the reason why I was with her.
Was her hair?
Oh, great hair.
Great hair.
Great hair. It did this thing. It looked like a book falling off a shelf.
Sorry, just in school, Ross and Rachel were like the couple.
Sure.
And it's like, they're on again, they're off again, they're on again, they're off again.
Yeah.
It's just
It was crazy. We went on spring break. I fucked some people and she got mad about it.
You were on a break, right?
Yeah, I was on spring break.
Yeah, it was spring break. You were on spring break.
You were on spring break.
Well, interesting. I don't know if I should ask some follow-up questions about fairy sex.
I'm almost certain you shouldn't.
Okay. Fair enough.
Unless you want to get burned a third time.
That is true. That is true.
Third degree.
Yeah, that is true. My penis has been burned a lot of times in this episode.
Is that why it looks like that? Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. No, no, no. Just metaphorically.
Good one.
Now, I wish to help you in your endeavor to
unite
the fairies.
Thank you.
And I know you're too small to carry a rock.
Yes.
So here's a mote of dust.
Oh, thank you.
With magical properties.
Mm. Oh.
If you hold on to this dust mote and you wish very, very hard, the things that you want to happen are 25% more likely to come true.
So you're giving me a discount?
Exactly.
But you know what? She's a fairy. She's already a magical creature, isn't it? Almost condescending.
She already has magical dust.
She has fairy dust.
I'm giving her extra magical dust. It's an addendum.
A fire sale.
Yes. I'm just trying to help in the small way that I can.
No, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, I love it when something magical happens on the podcast. Mm-hmm. Ross, would you be willing to do some kind of fairy magic here on the show?
Sure. Everybody close your eyes.
Okay.
Think about the best food you've ever seen. You couldn't eat it, though, because it was behind glass.
Mm-hmm. The best food I've ever seen, but haven't actually tasted.
Because it was behind a thick glass.
Behind glass, okay.
A thick glass.
My mom's spiced potatoes.
Okay. Wait, John.
What?
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but...
No, please.
You've never eaten your mother's spiced potatoes?
Oh, it's supposed to be something we've never eaten?
Yeah, just something you've seen.
Oh, okay.
We've all eaten his mother's spiced potatoes.
Wait, was that a euphemism?
Hey, come on.
Hey, come on. I love her. How is she?
She's great. Yeah. She asks about you all the time.
Oh, my God.
You have to swing by sometime.
Yeah, I'll do.
Okay, Arnie's penis behind glass.
Okay, so Arnie's penis is behind glass. Now, everybody go to your left pocket.
Okay.
Go to my left pocket.
Well, my penis is in my left pocket.
There we go.
A mermaid fillet. I ne'er thought I'd be able to eat a mermaid.
That's not even legal.
I know.
Sad.
It was something I could never have. It was something I was supposed to never have eaten.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
It was either this or a unicorn's hindquarters.
Oh, my God.
Ugh.
What?
Have you had unicorn on the cup?
Well, Ross, it's so exciting to learn more about fairy folk and
sort of
what you're dealing with.
Yeah, it's a rich history, tapestry.
Yeah. So, what's next?
No. He said it.
Today?
That's my catchphrase. What's next? Like, what's next for you?
Like, right now?
Yeah. What are you going to do now?
I'm probably going to go to the bathroom.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Here's a question I ask all of our guests.
No, come on. No, don't ask it.
Well, I don't know what fairy poop looks like.
Oh, God.
Does
look in your pants.
No, okay. Fair enough. I feel like I haven't treated my penis very well this episode. I'm going to have to sing it a song tonight before I go to sleep, just as forgiveness.
Yeah, just tuck it in. Yeah, get a little glass of milk.
Yeah.
Read it a story.
Read it a story. Chunt, have you gotten any emails lately?
Yeah, I have. You can email me at chunt@gmail.com. Of course, that's chunt with six T's. Here we have an email from Tim Rapp. Tim says, I need Usador to test a ritual. Hey, Chunt, how's it going? Sorry to use you as an intermediary like this, but I've been workshopping a ritual, but I can't try it out myself because there's no magic on Earth. Can you see if Usador can help with this and if there's any effect? So, Usador, I'm going to read this ritual.
All right.
You're going to do it and let us know if there's any effect.
Let's see.
Step one, there's three steps. Put your right hand in. Step two is take your right hand out.
I have done so.
Step three is put your right hand in.
I have done so again.
And you're going to shake it all about.
Yeah.
Anything?
My dick's bigger.
Whoa, you made all our dicks bigger.
Finally.
Do it again. Do it again.
I put my right hand in. Yes. I put my right hand out. Yes. I put my right hand in and I shake it all about.
Yes. Woo.
Well, congratulations, gentlemen.
Too big. But what are you going to do?
I hope that answers your question.
And it's all canon. From now on, dear listeners, remember, from this moment forward, all of our dicks
from this moment forward, ne'er forget the magic that has transpired here today and the effect that it has had upon our various genitalia. Aye, for now, we shall be so well endowed that all shall... I don't know where that's going.
Get your fan art ready. Hey, I've got an email. You can always email me at magictavern@puppies.supplies. It's a real email address. Hi, Arnie, Usador, and Chunt. I've listened to your entire podcast from the beginning since I discovered it early this summer. Oh, great. You're all amazing, talented people, and you make my day brighter. My parents... Uh-oh. Jesus, I don't want to read this after the dick's bigger part. Hey, my parents really announced that they are getting separated, which was a big shock, but your episodes still bring a smile to my face. Arnie, I know you've spent a lot of time apart from your child, and I'll soon be far from my dad. Any helpful words would be appreciated. I know Chunt grew up with separate parents, so I was wondering if he had any words of advice, and any words of wisdom from Usador would be greatly appreciated. Thanks for everything, Megan, 17-year-old English girl living in Prague. Chunt, do you have any advice for growing up with separated parents?
I would say make sure that your dad always stays hungry and that your mom is a manticore.
Good. That's good advice drawn directly.
Is that
from
universal
your life.
Enough?
I think, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you personalize it and you hope it becomes universal.
Mm-hmm. I thought so.
Usador, how about you?
Megan, hear the words of Usador now. You are not alone. For when you are separated from your family, that only is a physical separation. Your family you carry with you in your heart. For my family is the very wind and birds and fire and air that did bring me forth unto this world. I do not spend my days and nights with them in a home. Nay, they are in my heart all day and all night, and I know that I am here for a purpose, to defend Foon from evil. Find your purpose and love your family, and that shall be enough.
Usador, do the birds and winds and fire that made you, do they always get along?
No. Sometimes the wind comes through and tears out the birds' nests in a great typhoon or tornado. Aye, there is tumultuous anger sometimes between these great forces of nature. And we must learn that this anger and this tumult is all natural. And that we must learn to accept it and find our own place here in this food.
Like farts.
Also, you get two Christmases.
That's true. You'll get two Christmases. Well, anyway, we get lots of emails from people who are going through tough times, and I appreciate all of them, and I hope that we can be a small good thing for anybody that needs something to help them through their week. And Megan, I don't know if I have any advice besides, you know, love your family, no matter how far-flung they may be, even if they're transported into another dimension. And also, you know what? Find good friends. Good friends always help you through the tough times.
And you don't have to take this advice, but it's just good words from four dudes with huge old dicks.
No. So, Megan, please have not listened to this episode where we tried to help you. And that's all from the Magic Tavern.
Look, the fairy's dragging its dick around.
Yeah.
Usador, you made the fairy's dick too big.
Fine. I put my right hand out. I put my right hand in.
No,
I put my right hand out. And I stopped shaking it.
Oh,
it's canon.
Mine's still big.
Good stuff, good stuff. But not real. Remember, it's not real. Usador the Wizard was played by Matt Young. Chunt, the King of the Badgers, was played by Adil Rafai. Ross, the Fairy, was played by Allison Ringhand. Allison performs in the show Three-Pete at the I.O. Theater and in other shows all over Chicago. I've got some more credits here, but it's kind of quiet in the bunker, so I thought this might be a good time for another installment of CraigCast. Welcome back to CraigCast, everybody. Good to see you all again. Everyone else in the space bunker is doing some mandatory sensitivity training, so I don't have any guests. But I do have an email here from a Mercury Starlight who writes, "As you might be able to tell from my name, I'm not your typical Earthling. I always thought my parents were just hippies, but after finding your podcast, I came to understand the truth. My ancestors must be from Foon. I wouldn't have believed it myself, but imagine my surprise when I heard Mundle the Grundle playing my favorite epic nursery ballad as the advertising music. My parents taught me that tune as the Merchant of Backwater, which I've recorded for you and provided the lyrics." Well, thank you for writing to CraigCast, Mercury Starlight, or not necessarily to CraigCast, but let's just hear a little bit of that, shall we?
The Merchant of Backwater came to town in a fine fancy hat and velvet gown. He wore thigh-high stockings of goose and down, imitating the fair Titania. His wig shone like gold in the sunlit air, with a braiding of flowers in his hair. They sang of the deeds of the maiden fair as he mimicked the fair Titania. One thing he needed to put to rest, just to ensure that he looked his best. What was the size of Titania's breast, all on a Blursday morning?
Good stuff. Again, not real, all made up, totally fake. None of this is real, but that was really good. In fact, I'm actually going to play the rest of that after the credits here, so just stick around for the rest of that. Hello from the Magic Tavern was produced by Arnie Niekamp, Evan Jacover, and Ryan DiGiorgi. This one edited by Chris Rathjen. Music by Andy Poland, logo by Allard LeBon, additional audio effects by Jason Knox. Production assistance by Garrett Schultz. Visit us at hellofromthemagictavern.com or on Facebook or Twitter. Thanks to the Chicago Podcast Co-op, and thanks to Earwolf. Don't forget about the Big Hello from the Magic Tavern live show in Chicago November 19th as part of the Chicago Podcast Festival. We've got special guest Scott Adsit, of course, from 30 Rock and many other great things. And you can go to chicagopodcastfestival.org for more details about that. That's it for the show. That's it for CraigCast. What am I forgetting? Oh, I'm still playing hide and seek with Robot Arnie. Oh, I wonder if he's still in the cargo bay. I'm going to go down and check. Bye.
The Merchant of Backwater came to town in a fine fancy hat and velvet gown. He wore thigh-high stockings of goose and down, imitating the fair Titania. His wig shone like gold in the sunlit air, with a braiding of flowers in his hair. They sang of the deeds of the maiden fair as he mimicked the fair Titania. One thing he needed to put to rest, just to ensure that he looked his best. What was the size of Titania's breast, all on a Blursday morning? The Merchant of Backwater asked around in his fine fancy hat and velvet gown. The big apple loomed over green and round as he mimicked the fair Titania. He sold all his wares in a shocking blur, asking all of his patrons strike to scur if they'd ever heard of the prized allure of the breasts of the fair Titania. Apples or pears or a griffin's egg, melons or dragon fruit did he beg? Could one tell only by shape of leg, all on a Blursday morning? The merchant of backwater wept in vain. All this questioning was a giant pain. He wondered if he'd ever drag again in the visage of fair Titania, when suddenly he was approached and fast by King Albane himself, who looked aghast. He'd come by the town for a long repast when he'd noticed his fair Titania. "Come now, my queen," said the worried king, "normally I'd see you laugh and sing. Why come you here selling stones and string, all on a Blursday morning?" The merchant of backwater stopped and stared. Could it be, though he wasn't quite prepared, this king had mistaken this merchant fair for his own wife, the Queen Titania? He looked down to find, to his great delight, that although he was somewhat short in height, his feet were no longer in his own sight, for his breasts were a fair Titania's. Magic, he thought, what a wondrous boon. Perhaps a wizard has heard my tune. Such is the way of things here in Foon, all on a Blursday morning. "My king," said the fair merchant, thinking fast, "I have missed you while on your long repast. But now you have come to me here at last, so embrace me, your fair Titania." "My queen," said King Belleroth, smiling wide, "why, of course you belong right by my side. Come, let us repose by the fair lakeside, for I love you, my fair Titania." And so the merchant, to his slight dread, found himself tied to King Albane's bed. And for a week they were legally wed, all on a Blursday morn.